Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living. Before you sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary before you. Amen. Lord, make me a sanctuary. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good spring year, starting of the year, and everything's looking good, isn't it? If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. Now remember, Brother Biscoe will be with us, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. Services start 7 o'clock as usual. So just come expecting a blessing from the Lord. And I really am, looking forward to the time and all, where we can fellowship together. We had a real wonderful time yesterday at the fellowship meeting over at Brother Kershane's and all, and it was a good time in the Lord. Just had a good time riding over and back and fellowshipping and just talking about the Word and all of that. But, just pray one for another. Remember, remember Brother Narcissus. I hadn't heard any more. I heard got an email that he was out of the hospital. But just remembering there the brother in the Philippines, that the Lord would be with him. And remember, as we announced Wednesday, Brother Prakash sent us a notice that, that they had a wreck, and they wouldn't, I don't think any of them was hurt, but somebody else was hurt in the wreck, and they're figuring on maybe they're suing them or doing whatever. So, just pray that the Lord would take care of all those things all in the Lord. And 2 Peter 1. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the day and the hour that we're living, the time that you have given us to where that we can walk in your word. And I pray that you would just, Lord, come this day and open our understanding that we may, Lord, hear from you. Because without you opening it, then there's no entrance can be made for any of us. So have your way now and just bless and guide each one, Lord. And Brother Richard, this morning asking us to pray for Sister Dorothy there that got the kidney stone, Lord. We ask you to remove that and let all the problems be out of the way and let your love be made manifest to each one. As we read your word, you come now and speak to our hearts. Forgive our sins and cleanse us, Lord, and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll just begin reading. We'll drop back in a little bit to it, but we'll begin reading in the 8th verse of 2 Peter. First chapter, the 8th verse. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, brother, if you've been listening to you, get Brother Richard's tapes. He's been on a message now about six sermons or something like that on an entrance. And I've really been enjoying them. And, you know, when I picked up the thought to try to speak to you and I on something I've been trying to say to you, and but I want you to pay close attention. Now, what I'm doing is I'm kind of backing up just a little bit to speak about some things, and I've spoken to you about the things, so if you have an opportunity to go back and listen to some of the previous sermons before last weekend, you know, last weekend and all, I pretty well spoke on a thought that I had, you know, about sin and the remitting of sins and stuff like that. But I'm still talking about an open door. Yeah, we still, you remember we were on that about a door being open, and I said to you back yonder, so that you'll remember it, I said, now if we can stand in the door of Revelations 3:8, you know, and go on with the Lord, then we'll be able to stand in the door that's mentioned in Revelations 4:1. Alright? Now if you remember that, I made that statement a time or two where that you would think on it. Because if you're not standing in Revelations 3:8, which is the new birth, an open door, and the deity of Jesus Christ being revealed, then you will not be able to hear the voice, you know, that's in Revelation 4:1. Now, I'll tell you up front before we get there, that voice is not in heaven. All right? I'll tell you that before we get there, so that'll make you think on what I'm trying to bring. That voice of Revelation 4:1, that was just John in type. That was typing the rapture. The voice of the rapture is not heard from heaven. You know, way up in the sky, like a something we used to think about, that one of these days, you know, there'd be a great trumpet out of the sky, you know, and oh, the whole world would hear a do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know, and they'd look up and there'd come the Lord down out of the sky, you know, and all. We found out that's not true. So if I was you, I would listen very carefully to what I'm saying, and maybe listen over again to the message if you get an opportunity, because I'm trying to just back up simply to the new birth, you know, and then go up from there to a place to where that we can see, because I want to title the message, The Entrance Into. The Entrance Into. All right? And that way then we'll begin to understand a little bit about where we're at. Now, an entrance means like a gate or a door, a way to enter in. All right? Now, then we know that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, it fell because that the key of the kingdom was given to Peter. And when he turned the key on earth, then the key in heaven, you know, the tumblers, as we call it, the key, it opened heaven to where that the Holy Ghost could fall. Right? It was because that Jesus, see, is the way. He's the gate. He's the door. Remember, we preached on John 10. That I'm the door of the sheepfold. Because, see, I was making plans to speak on this part. Maybe not the exact wording today, but to speak on the open door of Revelation 4:1. But see, I believe we need to especially review to make sure that you're following what I'm talking about, and then we can move on maybe a later time to speaking of Revelation 4:1. All right? But see, what I want you to think on today is the entrance into. Now, Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the door. All right? So then we know that by the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, the releasing of His life, that made a way, because man was not in the kingdom of God before the new birth came. Now, I hope everybody understands that. Maybe, you know, somebody hear that statement, they'll just say, well, what do you mean? Well, see, no one had the new birth in the Old Testament, because Jesus Christ had not died and hadn't given His life. So that should be an understanding to us. But a lot of people, see, they don't think like that. They just think, well, everybody, you know, saved, everybody, There was no new birth in the Old Testament. There was no way that God could enter into the soul of man to give him a new birth. See? An entrance had to be made. A way had to be made. And Jesus said, I'm the way. Right? So we know what happened. See, when he went to Calvary and hung on the cross, then that soul came out of that body. And as he did, the body went to the grave, but that soul was the one that paid the price for you and I and opened the way that even though he had already told Peter that he had the keys of the kingdom, which was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that true? Not the revelation of the flesh or the revelation of Peter upon him. It was built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. True? Alright, see, then a way was opened for us to enter into the kingdom. Alright? Which would take the life of the king. See, we're the only, as I told you one time, we're the only people that have to have our king to die. Everybody else's king is glorified, raised up, picked up, whatever. But see, our king had to die. Or we couldn't enter into the kingdom. There was no way to get there outside the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, he gave his life, and when he gave his life, that made the way, or made the entrance, so that you and I could enter therein. Right? Right? So then as doing that, then the new birth came on the day of Pentecost. The open door was set before the people. And as Peter, he stood there and he said, repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, them that are far off. And what was he doing? The door was opening. Now remember the message? See, I'm trying to background some to show you that we've been tied together with a lot of messages. All right. See, then what was it back there? The porter, remember John 10, the porter had to stand. The porter stood in the door and opened the door. Even though the shepherd would go out with the sheep, see, then the porter would close the door, but when the shepherd would come back, at the voice of the shepherd, the porter would open the door, allowing the shepherd and the sheep to come in. See, because there's always got to be somebody. Brother Brown said it's the hardest thing in the world to get one man to believe another one. Right. Amen. Right. Now everybody wants to look back to Brother Brown and they can kind of believe it, because see, that's hindsight, 20-20, you know. Right. But looking forward, they got about a 40-40. You know. It gets kind of dim along about that way, doesn't it? Right. That would probably be what we'd call legally blind, I guess, when you get on up 40 or 50, you know. I ain't talking about age, I'm talking about the eyesight part, all right? But, see, Peter stood there on earth now. Now, Peter wasn't up in heaven. He stood on earth and proclaimed that heaven had opened. Now, are you listening? See, that's very vital for the next few services. Right? Someone had to stand there. Peter was that porter that it spoke of, to stand there and stay the way into the kingdom and tell the people what to do. They said, men and brethren, what can we do to be saved? Repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? See, that was the way into the kingdom, right? Okay? Now, if he had just said, well, you know, if the people said, well, you know, what does it matter? I'm going in the kingdom. I don't like that muddy Jordan to get baptized in or whatever. I'm just going in the kingdom. I'll just get in by faith. You remember they tried it in the upper room? Your prophet expressing it, you know. He said there they were in the upper room, you know, and one was saying, well now, let's just take it by faith. No, the door wasn't open. Even though the man was sitting there with them that had the keys of the kingdom, right? Not a key to. So you can't do that. It's not a key to. You got to have a key up. Alright? So there he sat with them in the upper room, but yet he couldn't do anything. Right? Why? He had the key? The sacrifice had been made? Why was it not? Why was he not able to do that? Wait a minute with me. Why wasn't Peter able to tell them on the seventh day what to do? Why wasn't he able to tell them on the eighth day or the ninth day? He had the revelation. God gave it to him. Matthew 16, right? And he said, even the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. You got the key of the kingdom. But see, just because you got something doesn't mean you can do anything with it until God tells you. See, then the importance I'm putting is not the man standing in the way. I tried my best to get you to see that, even though God uses man. But yet it's God using man. All right? A preacher thinks he's got something to say to the people. Might be the wrong congregation. Might be the wrong time. But yet he just, well, I've got it. Like I tried to illustrate to you. Brother Branham in 1964, their conduct, order, and doctrine, read it. He said, a way has been made before on marriage and divorce. He said, now if you'll take my word for it, and listen, he said, you know, in other words, I know the scriptures, but what was he doing? He was like Peter in the upper room. Right? Even though he had the new birth, where Peter didn't have it. See, Peter didn't have the new birth because he's sitting in the upper room. He had to wait until the day of Pentecost come and the Holy Ghost could fall. But here's Brother Branham sitting there with the Holy Ghost, and he knows he can't go out and speak it because he'd be speaking presumptuous. Why? Because God gave him the key of, right? Brother Branham had the key of, Peter had the key of, but yet he couldn't turn it. It wouldn't work. We're like, oh, just go tell everybody about this. It won't work. The Bible says there's a time to all things, not a time for all things. It's a time to all things. All right? But you see what I'm trying to get, the point. But when the time came, even though Peter had the keys of the kingdom, he could not turn that lock. God opened the door. God opened the door and filled Peter and the 120 in the upper room, right? Filled them and the 120 in the upper room. Alright? He opened the door. Because he's the real true porter I'm talking about. He's the real shepherd I'm talking about. But then what did he do? See, they come staggering down outward to where the people were, and as they do, I said, you know, Peter preached them a sermon about the Lord Jesus and what had taken place to them in the upper room. And then when he did, they said, men and brethren, what can we do to enter this kingdom? Peter said, an entrance has been made. A door has been opened. And we are witnesses of that because we've entered into the kingdom and said, now where I once had an intellectual concept, because that's what he had over there was intellectual concept that was called a revelation, and it was revelation to him at the time, but it was not a born-again experience. It didn't birth him into the kingdom because he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? He had to wait until the Holy Ghost fell. But then when the Holy Ghost fell, he said, now I've got a more sure word. Is that scripture? Now you remember that message? I've got a more sure word of prophecy. Because now I've got the experience of being in the kingdom. Now I can invite you into the kingdom. So now there comes a man into view. A man to be used. because man chose that. See, people don't want preachers to preach to them, and they're the very ones that chose it that way. Well, I didn't choose it. No, but your forefathers did when they said, don't let God speak no more. Moses, you talk to us. You was back there represented. That's what's wrong with you today, is you say, no preacher don't have to tell me, I can get it myself. Well, get it. You know, I'm not trying to stand in your way. Help yourself. But I'm trying to get you to see that for me and my house to be able to serve the Lord, I've got to recognize somebody had to help me to get into the kingdom. Amen. Somebody had to speak to me. Somebody had to direct me to get me into the kingdom. Right. And I thank God for that I had someone that could direct me. And I'm even back in the Baptist and the things they done for me and the people coming down, as much as they tried to help me, they were trying to steer me in the direction. Right. But then I come to find out that a lot of them were standing in the door, but they were still good, sincere people back there, was trying to help me. You know, and I thank God for them. But see, then a man came along one day and began to talk to me about this end time message and the real, genuine new birth. Well, I saw immediately I didn't have it. And I'm not like 99.9% of the people of this message are, that they left the denominations, as Brother Moat said, they got their coat and hat and left, you know. And they come over into the message and they claim the Holy Ghost because they're in the message. I don't do that. I knew I didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I'd seen God do great things. I'd seen God myself when I was 11 years old. But, see, I knew I didn't have the new birth that prophet was talking of. See, I had all the mechanical mechanism of the kingdom, but I wasn't in the kingdom. But see, then one day the Holy Ghost came and put me in the kingdom. Then I could say like Peter, I've got a more sure word of prophecy. Right. Now, can you say that? See, because that's the point. We've got to enter into the kingdom, and every born-again believer enters the kingdom the same way. Right. Now, we know Wesley and Luther and the way and the thing, but still, they got the new birth of their day. See, it wasn't required what it is today to enter the kingdom, but they entered the kingdom in their day. If not, you got a gap in there and you're going to sure miss the whole thing. But now listen, there stood Peter with the keys. Why? Because he was in the kingdom now. He had experienced being brought into the kingdom by the new birth. And once he entered the kingdom, by the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But now I've preached on it to you before. You got 120 in the upper room that have been tutored by the Word for 3.5 years. When that new birth come to them, it put them into the body of Christ. But it also put them into the growth development of the body of Christ that made them have what was called the faith of the fathers, as we call it, or the stature of a perfect man, up as far as to where it says brotherly kindness and the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, they did not have the headstone. See, you got to wait for that. So then you ought to know immediately where we're headed. But now listen. When Peter says, then, to the people, he said, you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That put them that received the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. It didn't positionally place them where Peter and them were, because they'd only heard one sermon. The Holy Ghost can only quicken the words you receive. So now we've been over and over that. All right, now listen then. See, but Peter then, he begins to tell them. He goes outside there, you know, and he preaches a sermon to them. Now, he did not, now listen to what I'm saying, he did not preach the stature of a perfect man that day. Why? Because God knew that there was no need of him preaching it that day. See? I was trying to explain something I always have about the ministry, and people just miss it totally. See? They wanted me to come to Jamaica, and I was thinking, oh, well, what in the world would I preach if I go to Jamaica? Because my mind wasn't in that channel. But then it got switched around to where that Wade went to Jamaica, and I went to the Philippines. Well, see, then once I got over there, and it took me a few days before I got there, and all the problems and troubles going on all at once, because all the way over there for a few days, I thought, my Lord, I'm out of the will of the Lord. I'm, you know, I know God will take care of me, and I ain't concerned, so I'll just go visit with the people. You know, wasn't intending to preach or anything. Didn't care. Begin to develop. Hey, you're going to have to preach a couple of times. I thought, oh, well, Lord, maybe I can handle that. But see, along about the second or third service I preached, I begin to see, hey, I'm here because of the way that I'm going to approach these people. And Wade's in Jamaica because I called home and I found out, you know. $300-something telephone bill. But I called home to find out what was going on because I wanted to know. Sure, I wanted to talk to my family, but I wanted to know what they were doing. Mama said, Wade says they're doing great. Said he's preaching 2 hours and a half. Said they really are receiving it. About the opening of the word and the things, you know. I said, well, okay, now I know. See, if I'd have went that away, my thought wasn't in that channel. You don't understand what I'm trying to get you to see. Your mind is in a certain channel. His mind was in the channel of how to go into the seals, the door of the thing. I would have probably went over there and tried to preach something else. But my mind was in a channel over in the Philippines to try to preach to them what I could to develop up to a position to where that I could speak to them. He said, well, what are you talking about on that? I'm trying to get you to see that Peter experienced the new birth. Now listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying, all right? Double stating it to you. Peter entered the kingdom the same way that everybody enters the kingdom. He entered the kingdom by the new birth, which is faith. But yet that Holy Ghost that come to him in faith was able to bring him up the pyramid to where he would stand there with the faith of the fathers. Now, did you understand what I said there? But he entered the kingdom at faith. He didn't enter the kingdom up at brotherly kindness or where it says Holy Spirit. He entered the kingdom at faith. But because of the amount of word that he had planted within him, that word could grow quickly into the stature of a perfect man, as we call it. But he entered at faith. Or else you'd be in trouble with the scriptures. So now let's read and just, see, we've been over this, but let's read. I told you we'd just start with verse 1 on the 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if he was saying, I entered the pyramid at brotherly kindness or at the Holy Spirit where it says on the pyramid, look where it would have put for every one of us to have to come to that place even to enter. Now I'm trying to show you, see, keep your mind in what I'm talking about. An entrance, a door, a gate, a way. See, don't lose my thought. The thought I'm trying to get you to see is that God opened a gate. And then when he did, he put a man inside that gate in the kingdom that was able to talk about the kingdom. Apollos was a great man, teaching by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Acts 18, I believe it is, isn't it? Teaching by the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. But when Paul came along, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now, here's a man talking about Jesus, and then you turn and tell him, say, wait just a minute. There's furtherment of the story now. So you understand what I'm saying then? See, Peter enters the kingdom at the new birth, which is faith. And then he says, I'm directing this to people that are of like precious faith. He's not talking about up the top of the pyramid, you know, where it says Holy Spirit. He's talking about the new birth, entering into the kingdom. But they got like precious faith. Peter, what are you saying? I'm saying that everybody's going to enter right here. That no matter what age or what's coming, everybody's going to enter right here. You're going to become newborn babies. You're not going to become fully developed people. You're going to become newborn babies. The prophet said, that's where our trouble's at a lot of times. That's what everybody wants, a newborn baby. You watch a young fireball evangelist come in this message. And he ain't even out of grade school yet, spiritually speaking. But yet all at once, he's ripping the world up. Well, my saying is, just let him run a while. Because after a while, he's going to find out that he ain't the one set to rule the world. If not, he'll go on thinking he is, and he's got a lot of problems. And if he does that, then he didn't get born again. If he got the new birth, if he had that, then one day he's going to settle back in and going to realize what the message is doing. So you see them, it runs, and then they just fall off. Oh, sure, they've still got churches. They're still going with their gifts and their signs and wonders. But then you see some that comes along, that comes in, and then all at once you see them just settling down into the message, and they begin to preach the message then. All right. Now listen. So Peter says now, to them that are of like precious faith. In other words, you got the same faith I've got. But what is he speaking to them about? He's not talking about the growth and development. He's not talking about the height that he was brought into the pyramid at when the Holy Ghost fell and brought him to that position real quick. Before he leaves the upper room and goes downstairs, he's already been brought to a growth development of called the faith of the fathers. But those downstairs receive it as a new birth, which is in the earnest of our inheritance. And as it does, then that's like precious faith. Oh, everybody in the world that's born again has like precious faith. But then Peter sets out. As I said, he didn't come out on the day of Pentecost preaching, you gotta be born up here in the pyramid where we was born at. That's what the people of the message, most of them teach. You know, we're in the seventh church age, so we're in the headstone. Well, we're just born here. Now, that don't put you nowhere. So they were born again babies the same way. You know, they're babies. Right? They're born babies. You ain't born full grown, are you? Terence weighed 10 pounds, 2 ounces, but he wasn't full grown. He was just a big baby. Well, that's the way most of us still are, I think, about the gospel. It's just big babies. Because we're not paying attention. I'm trying to get you to look at something that you'll see the day that you're living. And you'll see the very rapture itself, and what makes that take place is right there in the scriptures. All right, but see, Peter then, he's born again. And as I said, before he leaves that upper room, God has brought him to a position to where now that he's standing there as a teacher, not a baby trying to teach people something. He's standing there at the faith of the fathers, and now he's He knows he can't tell them nothing there about the height and development. So what does he tell them? You must be born again. You must be born again. You got to receive the same new birth I received. But said, when you get it, you're going to be babies. And that way you'll be desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Then he comes on later, he says, now, you've come that way, but said, now you're being born again. By the incorruptible word. So, when he comes on over to where he is in 2 Peter, now he's trying to show people how to get, or the, you know, those that would accept, how to get where he was in the gospel. Because God don't use a novice, if ever how you pronounce that word, you know, a baby, to write his word. He don't use a novice to write his word. All right? So he used a full-grown man to bring the message. But that full-grown man knew that they were not to enter the kingdom and be at the position he was. But he said, you must be born again. You've got to have like precious faith. The prophet said, you've got to have faith and be born again. That's on the statue of perfect man, right? I gave them, they're in the quotes that you can read them. But if you can, if you ought to be able to read these yourself without me having to come down through there and bring them on. See? He said, I'm addressing this message today to those of like precious faith. Now you're born again, you're babies. You're desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now here's how you grow. Faith is not an ad, faith is a birth. See, that's why you have it like you do, because you got 7 ads, but you got 8 manifestations. Just like you got 7 church age messengers, but you got 8 manifestations of God in the church ages. They really had a thrill over that when I got to that point the last day in the Philippines about that point. Because they were concerned and asked the question, how did Brother Branham fall? We know he's not the messenger to Laodicea. So when I brought it out and showed him, you know, showed them that the Holy Ghost came himself and then that Brother Branham came right in the end of the age, it was really a thrill to them. They were rejoicing about it. And Wade said they really did in Jamaica. Because that's really a key. Because faith is not a virtue. Faith is a birth. Faith is a baby being born. Then you add virtue, knowledge, temperance. Add it to what? Add it to your new birth. Now we know it's not you adding, right? Who adds it? God adds it to you. How? By the growth development of the studying of the Word. He can add faith, virtue, you know, to your faith, add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. All right? Now then we come down, see, to a position of knowing that an entrance, now I want to hold that point with you this morning. So an entrance was made by the Lord Jesus by giving his life, opening the door of the kingdom of God, placed Peter and the apostles in that kingdom to where that they could speak of the kingdom and not about the kingdom. All right? So then as they did, the keys of the kingdom were turned on the day of Pentecost. How do we be saved? Repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, see then as it did, it opened the way for man to enter the kingdom. True? How? Through the open door. So an entrance was made. An entrance was made by the Lord himself. Using a man to direct you to the way. Then Peter began to speak of adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, coming to the position where he was. What was that? An entrance. Are you listening? An entrance. You got to have laid before you the directions before you could enter into an entrance. So Peter stood there and he said, now add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. What was that? An entrance. What? an opening more of the kingdom that you could be birthed into, because you're birthed into faith, you're birthed into knowledge, you're birthed into temperance, you're birthed into... Now I'm quoting Brother Branham off Statue of Perfect Man. See, if not, it's on blasphemous name. He said, you're birthed into these things. That's not seven new births. But it's just like a baby eating and drinking. I was laughing yesterday. Brother Longoria was talking about where he was preaching. And said this lady just, you know, started feeding the baby right there in front of him and him preaching. I started laughing. I said, that ain't nothing. I said, there was a lady in the Philippines. She was walking around holding a baby. Walking around shaking hands with people holding the baby. And, the, you know, covered over now. Don't misunderstand me. She had it covered over. But I knew what the baby was doing. And she walked down. I said, God bless you, sis. She said, bless you, Brother Dale. I enjoyed that. So we done got to the place, you know, oh, we're beyond all. No, they just, the baby had the nurse, and she was letting the baby take care of it and shaking hands, you know. Because there ain't but one way for a baby to grow, and that's to eat, right? Drink the milk until it gets enough teeth, then it can start eating. And that's the way it is in the gospel. It wasn't embarrassing to me. Because I knew what was taking place. I stood and looked at her. I thought, oh, she's feeding the baby. But you see, that baby taking nourishment would grow. A child of God that is birthed into the kingdom, as Peter said, of like precious faith, you know, then that baby can grow. Because it's in the kingdom. Now listen. It's in the kingdom, right? But what did Peter do in 2 Peter that reading? He showed you an entrance. An entrance into more of what you need. It wasn't there just a door opened. It was an entrance. Now, I'll remind you of something I taught you back a few weeks ago, that when that door opened in Revelation 3:8, which was between the 6th and 7th church age, the prophet said, which was the revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. You remember how I illustrated it? I said, that door didn't just jump open. Because it took a long time for the real truth to come. But what did it do? It just opened enough to where you could enter therein. Well, I said, then down through time, it began to open further. Then you would come back to a position called faith of the Father. But now that's as far as I went with the message, because I stopped deliberately. Because there's more to go. Paul Harvey said there's another page. But now we're going to get to that, but I'm trying to make sure you understand what I'm saying. We think, oh, door just opened, I just walked in. You better remember one thing if we ever get there. When John entered 4:1 because a voice called him, all it says that I saw a door opened in heaven. But once he walked inside the door, he began to describe the things he saw. And he did not see them all at once. Read your Bible. He saw a throne. A rainbow about the throne. So he saw it in stages. And we'll get to that and it'll help us when we see the point. But what I'm wanting you to see today is, see, you enter the kingdom at the same place. Everybody does. Call faith. Have faith, the prophet said, and be born again. Right. See, then that door was opened there on the day of Pentecost. But those people just barely entered the door. You see what I'm trying to illustrate, you know? with my hands just barely, that just barely opened the door. Why? Because you couldn't tell them babies about the faith of the Father. That's why the prophet, when he got in there, he said, you can't teach supernatural things to babies. You couldn't tell them about the stature of a perfect man the first day they got the Holy Ghost. Maybe some of them never went beyond that hardly. Some of them may died pretty quick. Maybe they didn't go beyond just faith, or maybe got virtues or something like that. But see, they had to be taught, if you understand me. Somebody that had entered therein had to tell you how to walk therein or how to get in it. You remember the man that come to Brother Branham and he said, I wrote books about the day of Pentecost or something like that. But he said, I've never had the experience. Well, how could he write a book about something he'd never had an experience of? He was only writing what somebody else said. He couldn't write really what happened. Even though he'd have his wording maybe correct, but he still had no experience. Right? So he was standing outside pointing to a door. This is Pentecost. This is what it is. This is it. This is it. He's just pointing at it. But when Brother Branham prayed for him and received the Holy Ghost, then he became a great minister of the gospel. Because then he knew what the day of Pentecost meant. See, do you and I know that today? Have you had an experience with Jesus Christ that you know where you're standing? Have you been born again? If not, then you're not in the kingdom. Just because mom and daddy's in it, brother, sister's in it, everybody's in it. No, you're not in it just because of that. You got to be born again to be in the kingdom. Well, how do I get born again? Repent, every one of them, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, and you shall. Maybe not right then, shall. At a future time or later date. Sure, you can believe all the way right there. But the prophet said very few people do. So hold on. Well, Brother Dale, I'm just having so much troubles. Well, what do you think a child of God is supposed to have? Oh, a flowery bed of ease. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't know what you're talking about. What you need to do is have faith and get born again. Well, I've done everything I can do. Have you? Are you saying that God is wrong? Come on. Are you saying God is wrong? No, Brother Dale. No. Are you saying God is wrong? Because God said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you. See? You know what the problem is? Failure to repent. Well, I repented, Brother Dale. I cried, I prayed, I repented. Well, are you blaming God for not giving you the Holy Ghost? Whose fault is it? Well, I thought I repented. Now you're getting more close to it. I thought I did. Because the Bible said godly sorrow worketh repentance. Well, Lord, I'm sorry for what... Now, most people are sorry because they got caught. They're not sorry for what they've done. They're sorry they got caught. But you see, what you need is godly sorrow. In other words, as Brother Moult used to say, if you stole a man's horse, take the horse back. Don't leave it in the barn and pet it and pamper it and ride it and everything. Oh, that horse don't belong to me no more. I'm just taking care of it. Now I'll go give it back to the man. Well, what are you saying, Brother Dale? I'm saying that I see a lot of people repent. But they leave out thinking the same thing they did when they started. So therefore, their repentance wasn't genuine. Oh, it was crying with tears. And well, you can take onions to do that. I was up in the, you know, I didn't get to hear it, but I've seen them do it, and the judge would just get upset with them. But they had one up in Gainesville one time. They said, no lawyer, no man, he put onions in his handkerchief, and, oh, man, he was talking about it, and he'd just cry, you know, and just crying. The other fellow said, Your Honor, when are you going to start putting up with all this junk? You know, I mean, the man had onions rubbing it in his eye, just crying, you know. Well, I've seen them in there get so mad at each other. They'd be in there, just, man, they'd be just, I mean, two lawyers, just, I mean, you thought they're going to have to separate them, man. Somebody get between them, you know, they're fixing to strike licks. And then we'd go eat. They'd be overeating together. Just laughing and talking. I thought the only sucker was the fella that hired the two lawyers. Yeah. All right. But listen, church. You must have faith and be born again. That's the reason a lot of people have no growth development. They don't get born again. They get what Peter, listen to what I'm saying, they get what Peter had before Jesus was crucified. Come on. Peter didn't have the new birth. So he didn't have a Holy Ghost-filled revelation. He had a revelation from God who Christ was. A lot of people have a revelation, but they don't go on to possess the revelation and become a part of the kingdom. Because that's what Peter was doing then in 2 Peter. He was telling them how to get where he was. Right? Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. All right? Now listen. Then we're down to verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, not just in you, but abound, you know, a work that's going on, heaping up, as we talk. They make you that you are neither, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they are in you and abound. Now get what I'm talking about, an entrance, the entrance into. Now listen. Peter was there as an experience of those things. And he was standing in the door of the kingdom telling the others how to get to where he was, right? So he was in the door. Right. He was the porter that was giving instructions. And he was saying to them, listen, you are in the kingdom. You're born again. But listen, an entrance has been made now for you to grow into a development. An entrance, a way. A door has been opened unto you that you can come to where I am. Right? That didn't make Peter exalted. That made him the spokesman. That made him the porter to say, all right, I'm in the kingdom. Come to where I'm at. And look then. See, then he would be telling them that the faith of the fathers was their capability. Or to his revelation. The revelation of the fathers. Right. See, we must come to the faith of the fathers before we can even talk about a rapture. Just as I said, we got to stand in the door. We've got to stand in the door of the new birth. Let me say it this way. You got to stand in, get in the kingdom at the door of the new birth. Then we must climb up the stature of a perfect man to come out to the place to be where the disciples were. And if we don't do that, then we'll never understand Revelation 4:1. We'll never understand John saying he heard a voice to call him up. Because if you don't hear the voice to develop you upwards in stages, how are you going to understand? See, an entrance was made by the Lord Jesus. An entrance was made on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Ghost. An entrance, then Peter's saying here, now come up to where I'm at. An entrance has been made for you. A door has been opened. But you know, if we don't go in the door, where are we? But see, even the people of this message, and I gave you some quotes there, even the people of this message say that Azusa Street was false. That wasn't a genuine Holy Ghost. I gave you a bunch of quotes where Brother Brown called it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said the same Holy Ghost is right here in the meeting tonight. He says the same Holy Ghost that saves you and births you. Somebody on tape that don't hear it off of the internet system where Brother Joseph put it. Just read All the Days of Our Life, preached in 1959. Read the Resurrection, 1953, 1205. Read Acts of the Holy Ghost in 1954, 1219. Read Jehovah Jireh, 57:8-10. Read Ephesians Parallels Joshua, 1960, 5:18, I believe it is 19. Read Thirsting, 1965. 0919, 1965. And read that and listen to Brother Branham explaining Hebrews 13:8. Now, if he's Hebrews 13:8, he would be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it would be the Holy Ghost in every age, right? Because if you change him anywhere, he wouldn't be Hebrews 13:8. So do you see what I'm talking about now? See, the husbandman must be first partakers of the fruit, the Bible says. So Peter had to get to the position to be able to tell us about the open door or the entrance. Alright? And as he did, watch what he says. He said, if you do that, you'll be, shall be, that, verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you say Azusa Street wasn't true. Don't tell me you got the new birth. I'm sorry. My spiritual understanding won't accept that. Sure, they didn't have the Holy Ghost as the disciples did in the upper room. We preached that. But they had the Holy Ghost that was on the outside when the 3,000 received it. Because everybody's got to have the same new birth. Sure, they didn't have the growth and development into the kingdom, but they were in the kingdom. An entrance was made. But now listen to what I'm talking about. You know what was lost down through the ages? It wasn't the Holy Spirit that was lost. But what was lost? The Word. Not the Word as far as, you know, losing all the writing. No. But the revelation that the Word contained. Just as I said, they didn't lose the name of Jesus in the ages and called him Jim, Joe, or Charlie. They still called him Jesus, but they lost the revelation of who he was. So when you do, you come out in the end time, when this prophet stepped on the scene, you find it eaten all the way back down to a stump. And you're just barely able to get into the body of Christ by the new birth. And you find no growth development taught of the stature of a perfect man. So you wind up in trouble. Now verse 9 says what? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. A man that don't have any of those things is lost, blind, and don't know that he's that away. But if you got the new birth, you don't lack these things. If you got the new birth, that's not talking to you. You may not have the growth development. You may not have the things Peter had, but if you're born again, you're in the body. So you don't lack all these things. If I've got one of them, that means I don't lack all of them. But he that lacketh these things, all of them, sure is blind. Cannot see afar off. Listen, but watch verse 10 now. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, Now listen to the man trying to tell us something. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Not just if you do these virtues. What's it saying? If you give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In other words, a caution comes to even the born-again believer. Be careful, or these things will be taken away from you. Walk therein, make your calling and election sure, or these things will be taken from you. And it was taken in the Dark Ages. Not the new birth of faith, but the growth of the stature of a perfect man that was taught by the apostles was taken away until it come out with just a new birth. Just barely able to get into the body of Christ. And I don't mean that in derogatory to God, because any spot of God is eternal. I'm doing it to illustrate to you that when it come on Azusa Street, it come out there, even with the baptism coming back like it was in the book of Acts, but still that made them only a baby in Christ. And they didn't know that an entrance stood before them. Come on. Even the great Azusa Street with a new birth didn't know an entrance was made. They didn't know that something was taking place. They didn't know that God had raised up a prophet. Because they said, fast and pray that God send us a prophet. The very people in the same book that said those things turned right around and said, look at the prophet of God that has went to the world. But see, those same people that printed those books about Brother Brown was a prophet would turn around and talk about some woman preacher as a prophetess or something. Right? Why? They wasn't making their call in an election. What do you mean? In other words, they didn't know the Scriptures. Listen to what I'm trying to get, verse 11. For so an entrance. And we're going to pick up there this evening and go higher. So get what I'm talking about up till now. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you. If an entrance is ministered, somebody's got a minister. Right? It's not papers that you hand out. Somebody's got a minister. Somebody's got to bring it to your attention that something is available. As I've always said about it, carnal illustration, but you take a cow and you give her a half a bale of hay a day and she just eats that and just, oh glory, I'm so mud fat, I feel so good. But you let her get out one day and get over in the other pasture, and somebody happened to drop about two bales of hay, and she eats a bunch of that hay, and she gets, oh man, she feels great. You know, she's never satisfied back with that half a bale anymore. That's why you see so many people changing churches. They look on the other side, and it looks greener to them, and they run over to another church trying to find more than what they got. And the preachers say, well, I don't know why they're leaving me. They told me they're starving to death, but I'm preaching the message. Well, you know, you want to say things hard, but you try to be nice. We've had people leave Lula because they didn't agree with what was said at Lula. But you know, I've never heard a person that left said they're starving to death. Have you? Has any of you ever heard anybody say they're starving to death? Now, they didn't agree with what was said. They didn't agree with the direction it went or the attitude it was. Or they thought there wasn't no love. They wouldn't know this. They wouldn't know that. But at least none of them didn't go away saying, I'm starving to death. Probably a lot of them went away because they said, I just couldn't eat what they're passing out because they're just passing out too much food and I couldn't eat it because I just can't understand it. At least they didn't go away saying they're starving to death. All right. Get off that. But listen. Peter says, you're born again. And you need to come up these things. But said, I'm standing here today telling you, an entrance has been made. I've ministered unto you the way to get where I'm at. Right? An entrance has been made. Somebody ministered it. Paul said, we have the ministry, or was it Peter? One said, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Saying that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. We've been given an entrance. See, church, at least you got to admit one thing. I've tried to hold an entrance before you. You know, an entrance into the kingdom before you. You can't go away and say that I stood in the door and blocked you from trying to enter. You may not like my attitude and my ways. I don't either. But at least I've tried to hold an entrance before you. I've tried to hold a growth development before you. I've tried to minister the gospel unto you. To where that you can see more than just, oh, we're in the message, and glory, hallelujah, we're ready for the rapture. It don't matter, we're cutting our hair, painting our face, we're doing all these things that don't make no difference, but we're ready for the rapture. Yeah. I won't say this, and it's going to hurt anyway, but there'll probably be people here Wednesday night, here, Brother Biscoe, and I hope they come. I'm not saying nothing wrong about it now. But there's people that ain't been in church in months and weeks and don't even go to church, but they'll all be here, and they'll shake you. Oh, I'm ready for the rapture. You know, yeah, we're ready. We're ready for the rapture. That's what Brother George Smith said when we had that meeting up in Gainesville. We're standing at the door and shaking hands with people. He'd say, Brother Dale, do you know that person? I said, sure do. He said, where do you go to church? I said, they don't. Next one come by, and he said, you know that brother, sister? I said, sure do. Where do you go to church? They don't. Well, next one, where do you go? Well, they play tapes. They sit at home, and they got a church that play tapes. He said, Brother Dale, these people call me every week. He said, they call me once a week. And he said, they're telling me how they're ready for the rapture. And you're telling me they don't go to church. I said, Brother, you asked the question, I answered the question. I said, that's the best of my knowledge. If I'm wrong, then I didn't tell you something wrong. I just told you best I know they don't even go to church. You see, everybody's ready. But they have no way of knowing anything about an entrance. They don't even know what Peter was saying here. Peter said, an entrance has been made. Well, you're in the kingdom. What do you need an entrance for? You're in the kingdom. What do you need an entrance for? Well, why was it that John entered heaven in 4:1 and he did not see with one statement and make it and say, I saw all these things? He saw them stage by stage as they unfolded before. And he still didn't even see one sitting on the throne, I believe that's right now, until he got to Revelation 5, I think, when he saw one on the throne. It didn't unfold all at once just because he got in the kingdom. Just because you're born again don't make you know everything by revelation. But if you are born again today, an entrance has been made into the kingdom. An entrance of growth, development, and the possibility for us to move on. And if you come to the faith of the fathers and are standing there with that, there's an entrance made right there. That's where we're going to pick up the seed. There's an entrance to be made right there. To go into the glorious abundance, it says. Abundance. To just take up right there at the faith of the Father. The entrance into. You know who I'm putting all the glory and everything on. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know I've even tried to preach it to you today. You may have went to sleep and missed a point. But you know that I'm trying to say to you that even Peter, as he stood there, that was not Peter on the day of Pentecost. That was Jesus and Peter. Right? It was Jesus and Peter. He wasn't giving no credit to himself. Well, bless God, I'm the one to give the keys to. I'll open the door when I get ready. He didn't even want to go down to the Gentiles. Right? He didn't want to go to the Gentiles. God had to make the man go. The church and entrance has been made for us that we can grow therein. We've not held sugar tits before you that you're happy and glory, hallelujah, because you're born again. We tried our best to get you to see there's a growth development in the stature of a perfect man that must be attained. Not just hope so, as Richard said. He said, I'd never noticed Brother Branham saying that in the stature of a perfect man that these virtues are not just hope so, but they're required of you. In this day, I'll put it to you as plain as I can put it. If you don't stand in the new birth, and if you don't grow up the stature of a perfect man and come out to the face of the Father and see what that entrance is, that through the opening of the seals, then you're going by the grave. Only those who can possess these things will be standing there for the change in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. If I'm not able to, I'll go by the grave. It's not saying you're lost. It's just saying you can't do it. But somebody can. Why can't we depend on it? Come on, brother. Musicians, come on. Why can't we say we're them, the people? Why can't we say we're that people? Why can't we say an entrance has been made? God made a way for us at Calvary and gave the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And then gave the apostles to teach us. And then in the last days sent an entrance that a man could stand in called William Branham and stand there and preach the seals. But no entrance had been made before this day for the understanding of man. Sure, it was in Jesus standing there. Sure, he preached the seals, but nobody understood it. Right? See, the entrance into it just keeps on growing. As I illustrated, it opens just a little bit, but then it opens more, and it opens more, and it opens more. Until you can walk therein. Let's stand. Go ahead, brother. 151. Hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost. Anybody have a need? Burning now within my heart, all glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say, one of them. Are you? One of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad. I'm glad that an entrance was made. And I was able to walk into it. And I'm glad I heard this message that I could walk therein. That door, he said, I open and I shut. He said, what I've opened, you can't close. What I'm trying to get you to see about remitting sins and things. It's not just because you tell somebody they're forgiven. But when God comes through you and speaks back, then you're saying it like Paul says, in the person of Jesus Christ. One of them gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized. What an entrance was made. They come out of that upper room shouting the victory. Well, a few hours before, they were scared to death. But when that Holy Ghost came, they went running out of there. One of them, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Anybody have a need? One of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin. Come and seek this entrance, this door, this gate that we can walk into. I'm so glad that I can say, one of them, one of them. You're dismissed. Just sing it to one another. I'm so glad. Oh, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Come on.
Leave this, darling. Yeah. Wait here.
Oh.
We're having a dinner today. Between services for Brother Dale's birthday.
I've already known it. If you didn't, but you're welcome to stay. There's plenty of food to eat. But we want to pray over the food here and sanctify it before we go downstairs. But we do appreciate God giving our pastor another year, 65 wonderful years. And I'm not going to say 65 more. I don't think he wants 65 more. I think we need to get out of here before we all get 65. So, but it's a blessing to have our pastor, like I said, 65 years. Been here now almost half his life. He's been here behind this pulpit. So God's given him grace, and he's given all of us grace to be with him. So we thank God for having him, and we thank each one of you for coming and getting the cakes and all that and getting it ready. But we just thank God that we have a ministry, like I said, an entrance that we can be available. The word's been made available for all of us. It is your choice whether you take it or not. See people go away and they put themselves out, because you know the only way that if you miss the rapture, you're only going to blame one person. That's you. You're the only person to blame. You can't blame pastor. You can't blame the prophet of God said you can't blame anybody but yourself. So if he said that, then there must be a way available somewhere to you to receive something. And you've shut the door, because he said he didn't. You couldn't shut it or you couldn't open it. But you can shut your own door and not take the word in and receive and eat the word. But we're going to eat natural food now downstairs. So, okay. And we're going to, before we bless the food, we're going to go ahead and sing something. So we have a little. It's 12 o'clock, but we're going to eat a little while, so go right ahead.
Happy birthday to you, oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you, oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Oh, happy birthday to you, oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had.
Amen. We hope you have many more.
Amen.
So, are we ready to pray now over the food? We're ready to pray over the food?
Yes.
I think, well, let's ask Brother Aaron to come and pray over the food for us so we can go downstairs. But as soon as he gets finished praying, go downstairs. Need a few minutes to get everything together, but...
We'll sing another song.
Yeah. Okay, right, that'd be fine.
I get picked to pray over the food because it's one of the few things I like in this world.
It shows.
As the lady, when she saw my bag when I was going to Jamaica, she said she was going to have to confiscate all the stuff that I had. And I told her, I said, I don't mind you sharing, but I'm taking some of this stuff to Jamaica with me. But we did eat real good down there. So let's just all bow our heads and pray over the food. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning that you've given us, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for our pastor, Lord, and we're so thankful for the word that has been brought to us, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for that entrance that you provided for us, Lord. Lord, we can all say this morning, Lord, that Lord, we didn't see these things in the scriptures, Lord. There were so many things that were hidden. But Lord, you've come by and showed us these things. Lord, reveal them to us. Lord, you brought us to a place, Lord, that where we can see there's a higher plane to come to, Lord. Lord, there's an entrance that we can come into. And Lord Jesus, we can see this morning, Lord, by the Word, Lord, we don't have to taste death. Lord, the Word has been given to us, Lord. Lord, we realize this morning, Lord, Satan has no power over us at all. Lord, because we have become heirs of all things. And Father, we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful for our pastor, Lord, who has worked so hard, Lord, to bring us the Word. Lord, to bring us to this place that we can see these things. Lord, we're just so thankful for that. And Lord, in this little time that we have today to show our appreciation to you and our pastor for these things that you've given to us, Lord, we just pray that you'll bless it. Lord, all the food and everything that's been brought today, Lord, we just pray that you'll bless it and sanctify it to our bodies, Lord. Lord, let us just see more of you in the Scripture, Lord, that we may walk therein. Lord, that we can become that moving, breathing instrumentality of Jesus Christ. Lord, we must realize this morning, Lord, that nobody else is going to do it. It's going to be us, Lord, that we're going to walk in the fullness of the Word. And Lord, how thankful we are this morning, Lord, that we can do it because you've given it to us. Lord, you've shown it to us. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that, Lord, and we just pray that as we leave this sanctuary this morning, Lord, that you'll go with us, Lord. Minister to each need, each heart, each life, Lord. Lord, you know all the needs, Lord. You said you sent your Word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Lord, we just pray that and we believe it this morning, Lord, because you're here with us, Lord, and you've spoke to us and you've told us so. And we're so thankful for that. We ask all these things in the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
I'm a old gospel ship, amen.